Good morning, church. And what a church you are. Let me tell you, I am so just overcome with how great a church you are. You truly are. I came just from a great class. Andy, I want to give you thanks for just invigorating us, enlightening us with your teaching. The Wednesday night class, which I'll be talking about in my lesson today in a few moments, but this church is what I mentioned to Ambrose shortly after I started attending here, is the friendliest church. But you know, you're more than that. You're the most loving church. And that's I think, the key to our success here. You are such a loving church. But nevertheless, let me get right to our lesson today. You know, it is indeed a pleasure to stand here in the pulpit today, and I thank the elders and the shepherds here of Tammany Oaks Church for allowing me this privilege to speak to you today. I trust that my lesson will be invigorating and enlightening to your Christian walk. But before we get that, let me give you just a brief little outline of myself and my journey. I'm a preacher's kid. Huh? My father was a Church of Christ gospel preacher up in the state of Minnesota, where I'm originally from. And so I grew up in the Church of Christ. And then, as so many do, when I left home after my high school years, as a prodigal son, I fell away. But thanks be to God that when I came to my senses, I had a lifeline to come back to. And so for the next 40-some years, my late wife Nelda and I labored in God's garden. So with that in mind, let's say a brief prayer and then I'll get started. Our most great and glorious Heavenly Father, Father, I thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son. I thank you for the honor and the privilege, Father, of speaking to thy family. And I pray, Father, that it will be to thy glory. For this is my prayer and our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever I step into a pulpit, however, I'm reminded of a preacher who stood up on a Sunday morning and he had a Band-Aid on his chin. And he was self-conscious about that. And he said, well, when I was shaving this morning, I was thinking about my sermon, and I cut my chin. And then all of a sudden, from the back came a little voice saying, next time, think about your chin and cut your sermon. So anyway, with that in mind, then let me get right to our lesson today. And let's see, I got to remember now to change the slide here, and hopefully that went. So anyway, my lesson today is going to be concerning is taken from our Wednesday night class. And I encourage you, if there's anyone that's not attending the Wednesday night class, you're really missing something. It is exciting. It's a time of great Christian fellowship and a time of great study. So I encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. Our text today is taken from Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter and verse 30. And it says there, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap. And that's the key verse here, stand in the gap that we're going to be concentrating on today. But stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I might not destroy it. But I found no one. And isn't that sad? That God is looking down at this time for someone to stand up for him, and he found no one? I think that's so sad. But anyway, let's analyze that verse a little bit. I saw it. God is looking down today as he was back there in Ezekiel's time, diligently looking for someone, anyone. And he's looking against not only the prince, the priests, the principals. He's looking among the rich, the famous, and us, the common people. And he's looking for someone who will stand up for him, who will stand in that gap and who will say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." But unfortunately, what? He found no one. So a little background then is useful here. And I'm going to be reading from Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, reading through the 31st verse. Ezekiel 22, starting at verse 23. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey, that they have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the clean and the unclean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned against them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeking false visions and divinations, lies for them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. Here it is, folks. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me, on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one.'" And that's so sad. God looks down and he found no one. So he's looking down today as he did back then in the days of Israel, and he's looking for someone to stand in the gap, someone to stand up for Jesus. Huh? Will you be the one? That is the question of the hour. Will you stand in the gap? Will you fulfill your gift? You know, everyone has a gift. We'll talk about that in a moment. Your mission. Okay, I think I got another slide to go here. Are you shouting as Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8? "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who shall I send?' And what did Isaiah say? Send me. Here am I. Send me." So let's talk about missions then. And you standing in that gap. You know, God is looking for missionaries. Huh? And I'm not talking about missionaries that are over in a foreign land. I'm talking about missionaries. You can be a missionary here at home. As it says in John 14:12, "Most assuredly I say to you that who believes in me and the works that I do will be wise, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." Well, greater works, that's our theme for the year, is it not? Greater works. And I kind of said, greater works. How can I do greater works? Can I raise the dead? Can I walk on water? Can I cure diseases? The greater works that Jesus is talking about here is something I can do, and it's something that you can do. And it is taking the gospel of Christ to a dying world. So missionaries are found not only then in the foreign fields, but they're found here at home. So, where can we be a missionary? Very easy. At our workplace, among your friends, in your neighborhoods, in your daily life, letting your light shine. It is called standing in the gap, letting God's word and letting it shine in your life. And here's an example of how God's missions work. Over in 1 Kings, the 19th verse, and we'll go there, reading the 19 through 22. First Kings 19. There it is. "And Micaiah said, 'Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left.'" Can you just envision this now in your mind? Here's God on his throne, and before him and on his right and his left hand are all the host of heaven. And he's saying to them, who will go and persuade Ahab, the king, now that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead. So one came forth and spoke in this manner, another came forth and spoke in this manner. Then his spirit came forward and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him. Go there and do so. So God is looking today, he's looking down from heaven, he's looking for someone when there's a mission to be fulfilled. He's looking down for someone who will say, send me. And then he's going to give you that mission and you're going to go and persuade. Now here's a little example of how that works. You can do it as easy as saying, meeting someone and saying, what can I pray for you today? Or meeting someone and asking, what can I do for you today? Answering that call from the Holy Spirit that just as a rich young ruler said, was told to go sell all that you have and come follow me. So we have to follow God's call. Let me give you an illustration of how God's missions work and our part in it as we answer the call. My earthly father, Ray Newkirk, was searching. He was attending a church, and he knew that they were not teaching the whole counsel of God. He knew that, that something was missing. And so he was searching, and so here it comes up to God. God is looking down and says, who will go to Ray Newkirk and deliver this mission? And so a gospel preacher by the name of Glenn Bettenhausen came to Ray Newkirk and asked that simple question that any of us can ask today. What can I help you with today? And God and Ray Newkirk said, can you help me understand the Bible? Well, from that simple request, God sent a mission, delivery agent, Ray Newkirk went on not only to become a gospel preacher, but in his family, two gospel preachers have arisen. Countless souls have been saved, including the one standing here today. And a blessing has arisen from that. So God's missions can be as simple as just saying, what can I help you with today? What can I do for you today? And any of us can do that, can we not? But just remember one thing, it is God who gives the increase. It is our mission just to answer and obey God's call. So, what does it take to be a Christian, ready to stand in the gap? All we have to do is say, send me. Lord, here I am. Send me. So, what we have to do then is put on the whole armor of God. As it says over in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, and I'll read that. Ephesians 10, or I'm sorry, 6, 7, 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, all to stand. So that is our mission, folks, to put on the whole armor of God. So let's take a little careful look at those verses. And having the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? To a Christian, that's setting up a hedge around you, so that temptation can't get in. Your feet shod. As a Christian, we walk every day through briars and thorns, do we not? So we have to have our feet shod with this piece of armor. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. What the gospel is teaching us. And then taking the shield of faith. Which is the universal covering of the whole man. So as a follower of Jesus, you have these fiery darts coming at you all day long, every day. Doubt, huh? The devil, huh? He's throwing these darts. Doubt! He's saying, you can start asking yourself, did God really say that? Can I really trust God? Is that just your interpretation? Is that just your thinking? Then another one he'll throw at you is discouragement. He'll say, you're never going to get any better than that. Your life won't change. Why bother? And then he'll say, delay. Huh? He'll say, something you want to happen doesn't happen quick enough. I think as humans, we all want instant gratification, especially in the age we live in, do we not? So now we're saying, oop, what's this delay? And then he'll say, then he'll throw difficulty at him, at us. And he'll say, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to take the gospel out? Huh? Why is it so hard to win souls? And then finally, he'll use depression as his dart. He'll tell you, it's not worth it, huh? You don't even feel like making it work. You don't even feel like making an effort. Those are the darts that are coming at you, folks, every day on a constant basis. The Bible says over in Ephesians 6, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of these fiery darts. So how do you handle these darts? We put on the shield of faith. And then we put on the helmet of salvation. Huh? No soldier is going to go out to battle without having on his helmet. And then the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, right here, huh? God's word. The doctrine of God in the Scripture. And then one thing that we can always do, and that's pray. Huh? Pray always. All of us have unused abilities, do we not? But there are three ways that we can start cultivating these abilities. These abilities are used for your missionary journey and to God's glory. So the first thing we have to do is estimate our abilities. Then we have to take a little audit of our abilities, and we need to say, what are we good at? Huh? What does God bless us with? And make a list if you have to. Then dedicate your abilities. Go to God and say, God, give me strength to use these abilities in your kingdom. And then cultivate your abilities. You got to practice, folks. You got to practice. Success comes with practice. And that's, but then on the other hand, what if we're not willing to cultivate or to use these abilities? Ooh, that's pretty scary. Because one day we're going to stand before a righteous judge, and he's going to say, what did you do with those talents that I gave you, like in the Bible? So we don't want to be the one that says, but whosoever denies, or we don't want to be as God says down, but whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. That's scary, folks. Huh? That's very scary. We do not want to deny Christ. But how do we deny Christ, you ask? Well, I think oftentimes mistakenly we think that the only way we deny Christ is by not admitting him or not glorifying him. And sometimes we mistakenly think that the only time we can deny Christ is when a gun is pointed at our head and the question is asked, are you a Christian? Like in some Islamic-dominated countries today. However, there are many ways that we can deny Christ. And here are some of the ways. We deny Christ when we fail to regularly study, not read our Bible. There's a difference there, huh? When we fail to study and not just read our Bible. We do not live like we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We don't let our light shine. We don't invite our neighbors to church. We fail to lead others to Christ. We fail to pray. We pray for ourselves, huh? But maybe not for others. We let the sins of the past rule over our future, huh? Remember, folks, the consequences of our past sins we will live with for the rest of our human life. But remember this. When we go to our God and Father, he's forgiven those sins. So when he looks down, he's going to see only the blood of his son covering our sins. So are you willing? That's the question of the hour. In order to be willing, you must do these things. We must understand Scripture. We must be careful not to go beyond what is written. We must have a willing heart. We must remember that we are a family, huh? And that's what we're here. We are a church family. We gain strength one from another. And then we have to take a little audit of our gifts and then realize that one day, there's a day of accounting that's coming, and God's going to say, how did you handle my gifts that I gave you? So each one must be a good manager of God's different gifts. He must use for the good of others what he has received from God. So fulfilling our destiny involves perhaps realizing the unique way that God has created you. Huh? Each one of us is different. We all have different nationalities. We all have different personalities. We all have different et cetera, things that we can't control. But we can control our spiritual life. We can control it. So this includes our spiritual gifts, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences. All these things make you uniquely you. Huh? You're one of a kind, folks. One of a kind. You are only responsible for the gifts that God is giving you. You're not going to be held accountable because you can't paint like Rembrandt. You're going to be held accountable for only what God has given you. So when we get to heaven, God isn't going to compare you with anyone else but yourself. Romans says it so well. God has given you gifts for a purpose. You have a responsibility to be a good steward of those gifts in selfish ways, but not for selfish ways, but for the good of others. A key to living a productive and fulfilling life is to serve God by serving others. So the question of the hour is, then what is your mission? What is the work that God gave you to do, and how is your gift being used? These are the fundamental questions you need to be asking about your life. So don't waste your life. Ask God to show you the work he wants you to do, and then use your gifts to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Let me say that again. Use the rest of your life to make it the best of your life. Conclusion. Are you willing? Are you willing to be that one who's going to stand in the gap? Will you use your gifts? Huh? Will you practice them? Will you make an audit of your gifts? Will you use those gifts? And will you answer God's call and fulfill God's missions and be a missionary? I'm probably out of sync on the slides, but that's okay, huh? So, will you stand in the gap? Will you fulfill God's mission? Will you be a missionary? Will you be the one saying, send me? So if you need the prayers or any spiritual need of this congregation, there are many faithful men and women here today who are ready to assist you on your spiritual journey. Come now as together we stand.